Hello, today is Wednesday, May the 10th of the year 2023. Welcome to A Voice of a People live here on WGH Talk. My name is Linda Sims. Hello, 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 hello to all of you out there who are listening. I need to share with you a few things, starting with we do stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can also download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in during a live broadcast, like now, to relate to myself or my guest today. Telephone number 740-383-9944. You might have some questions or would like to make some comments. We anticipate your participation in the program. Again, that telephone number is 740-383-9944. People who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with those of you who listen faithfully, thank you for your support. If it's your first time, I pray it's not your last time. We also have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there, 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. Free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next one will take place May the 20th. Please mark your calendars. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. and share this information with others. We have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Clubs. This program is in all of Marion's elementary schools, county schools, and all North Union County schools. This is a faith-based program. They are finished for this year, but they will be taking, accepting registration forms when school starts up again in August. So you will be able to go to the office and pick up a registration form because they do need your permission for your child or grandchild to attend the Good News Club. If you would like to help with donations to keep the program going, which it has been in the city of Marion since 2009, please give Cheryl Lee a call at 740-262-0939. I'd like to start my show off with a thought for today. This thought is titled Enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, life becomes a dry and tasteless experience. Anyone can become enthusiastic for a little while, but to keep enthusiasm steadily flowing through your life is a great art. However, the secret is remarkably simple. Live in a state of appreciation. Appreciate the special qualities within everyone. Appreciate the wonder of nature and give thanks to the cycle of life and everyone's contribution to it. Enthusiasm is infectious, especially when it is based on an appreciation of and love for life itself. I thought that was very fitting for today. Enthusiasm. Now I'm excited to turn my attention to my guest today, Glenn Coble. How you doing?
I'm doing well. And boy, that what do you call
thought
that?
For the
thought
day?
For the day. That was right down my campaign. It truly is. That's what I'm trying to run my campaign with that in mind.
Amen. Yeah. Being enthusiastic.
Being enthusiastic, being positive.
Yes.
Yeah, all
yes.
That good stuff.
Yes.
And people think of it as when you're in college or whenever you're going to seminars and stuff like that, they always talk about you have to think positive and you have to be positive and stuff like that. Most of it is words.
Yes.
And I try to put it into actions.
Yes.
I had a mother and a sister who their entire life was action, nothing but action. Mm-hmm. My mother was a minister's wife, and as you probably can imagine, a minister's wife has to do thousands of things that sometimes she doesn't like to have to do.
Right, it's like having two households.
Oh, yeah. And a dad would come home with some homeless people, and she'd have to find a way to feed them and mm-hmm. put them up in the basement. She worked for Goodwill, so she was able to go get clothes for them back then.
Okay.
But she didn't work for them. She was in the auxiliary or something like that.
Okay.
But, I love that thought for the day. Boy, I tell you what, if I could put that down on a small piece of paper, I'd do it.
Yes, absolutely.
That would take too long to be a speech for what they call a elevator speech. You're always told when you're running for office you need an elevator speech that lasts only 30 seconds.
Oh, you can custom make it.
That's true. And I kind of have, yeah.
Yeah, you can custom make that. Anything, you know, that will benefit you and others. Mm-hmm. And it is about that. And when I looked up my thought for today, which they're downloaded 2 or 3 days out of the week, and I thought, oh, this is perfect for today,
mm-hmm.
for my guest, not just you, but even the next hour. You
good.
Know, so
I am enthusiastic. I was raised that way. So.
Amen. Keep it going.
When you're a minister's kid, you better be enthusiastic, because all the little old ladies come up to you and want to pat you on the head.
Oh, my goodness. Not so little anymore.
Not so little. I'm patting the little kids on the head. Yeah.
Right. So did you have a contestant against you during the election?
No, I did not.
Okay.
So I will be running against Bill... Yikes, all of a sudden I forget his name. But that's okay, you don't need to remember his name. Vote for Coble. But no, I didn't have one.
Good.
And there aren't a whole lot of people being voted on this coming November here in the city of Marion.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some important ones, one of which is mayor.
Yes, it is, very important.
Gonna try to win that one.
He's like the pinnacle of the city of Marion.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that is very important that we be diligent and listen and, you know, open up our minds and our heart to the contestants who are candidates for the city of Marion, Ohio. And
I like to think of Marion, I like to think of the position as holding the shield for Marion. We need to, I believe the mayor needs to stand up for the rights mm-hmm. of others. I think the mayor needs to be clear about where he stands, and I think he needs to work hard at making the city get better and better and better.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Is there anything that you see that... sparks your interest as far as making things better or decreasing some things that are out there that maybe are unnecessary?
Well, if I didn't say drugs, I would be slipping some, because that's one of the things we have to work on. But I think that's a continuing problem for many cities our size. And I think the police department and the mayor and the city tried to work on that, but it's something it's in dark corners, so it's not so easy to brush out.
It is not easy.
No. And I can imagine I've never been addicted to a drug, but unless you'd say tobacco, I was for a while. It's really hard to break those addictions, and I think we need to find a way to help those people break the addictions instead of finding a way to slap them into a prison and leave them there and forget about them. I hate the idea that we forget about so many people.
And it seems that they can get what they need inside those bars.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's probably true.
So that's not helping either.
Yeah, I'm not sure they get it. But again, inside those bars, it's the ones with the money, the strength, the stuff like that, that get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Much like out here. It's the rich and the...
That's true.
People of power that get what they want.
Yes, they do.
And I'll tell you what, if I'm mayor, I will not treat you any different if you're a billionaire or if you're a dollar-aire.
Okay. All righty then. So, and Bill Collins, I just thought
of
his name.
Yes, yeah.
Bill
Thank
Collins.
You. Thank you. I don't usually forget my opponent's name, but you know how it is.
I do. I do know how it is because, you know, my mind is not always on it. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
It takes me a minute sometimes to think about things.
My daughter said to me the other day, I said, boy, I hate getting older. You keep forgetting stuff. She said, Dad, you've forgotten stuff since you were born. She's right.
So age is no excuse, right?
No excuse at all in my case, yeah.
Wow, that's great. That's great. Well, drugs is one thing. What about anything else you see that you'd like to work on?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to look at is the charter city idea.
Okay.
I'm not sure I'm really for it right now, but I'm not opposed to it. So the way I'm going to approach things like this is that I'm going to listen to people that know what they're talking about.
Right, right.
So often we just jump on the bandwagon. That's the way we do politics anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We don't vote for somebody that cares. We don't vote for somebody that's thoughtful. We vote for the guy that's on my team or the girl that's on my team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty juvenile, quite frankly. And I think we need... take your own self-interest. Your own self-interest is not a bad thing.
No.
It's how we move forward. If you think it's of your interest to vote for Donald Trump, vote for him. If you can justify that in your head, or if you think it's not in your best interest, don't vote for him. That's the type of... I'd like to see people take more interest in themselves and their families.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Rather than just pulling a lever. They don't pull levers anymore, I guess.
No. Because, you know, once you stop and think about it, the families have really suffered.
Yeah.
Throughout the years, over the years. Not just black families, white families, brown families. You know what I'm saying? Just people. Because we're all people.
Well, you touched on a point there, though, that the black families in our neighborhoods have seemed to have been not attacked, but they've been unreasonably held down. And I am a devout person when it comes to diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I have friends that are gay, I have friends that are black, I have friends that are yellow, I have friends that... I do not have a Native American friend, and I'd love to have a Native American friend. Except for I take that back. My daughter-in-law is Native American.
Okay.
I forgot about it. I'm sorry, Tara, if you're listening. and she does listen occasionally.
Good.
But, yeah, I think diversity is important. Now, when you're running for mayor... I'm not sure what you can do to increase diversity,
mm-hmm.
but you can certainly be aware of it, and you can certainly care about it and put people in positions that can help increase diversity.
True.
And I don't mean just by having... When I was at the university, and I was in charge of publications for athletics, I would turn my publication in, and then I would get some note from a president who... Well, anyways, a president would send me a note saying, there aren't enough Asians in your pictures, or there aren't enough blacks in your pictures. And then what it came down to is the pictures I took were of real people. They weren't of actors and actresses.
Right, right.
So I didn't have much of a choice. But we did have a lot of talks about that, and... diversity to me is not something that's forced on people. It's something that they have to learn.
Right.
I learned it because, oh, there goes my police friend. I learned it when I was in my grade school, and my first high school was about a third African American.
Okay.
So I grew up not even thinking about it. I really didn't.
Right.
And I know a lot of old white men say, oh, I don't think about race, and most of them are lying, but I really didn't, and I'm so happy that I grew up that way. But
I am, too. It was like that when I went to school as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was just glad to be around kids.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Been the only child for like 6 years, you know, I was glad to see.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you did want to be around kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the oldest of six.
Huh. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, diversity is something I really think the city should concern itself with. I also think the city has not only we need to think about, consider strapping down corruption.
Oh, yeah.
The state, well, first of all, the nation has gone very corrupt, I believe. And it's not because the people are corrupt, it's because their leaders are corrupt. And I think with our past president, corruption was not a thing looked down on. It was a thing that, as a matter of fact, he even called it smart at some times.
Oh, it was celebrated.
Yeah. And I'm one of the things I'm fighting with Mr. Robbins is that he might be a wonderful person. I'm sure he is. Mm-hmm. I don't know him. We've met a couple of times. But the thing I'm fighting is that he is supported by a party right now. And I say right now because I was a Republican for half of my life. Mm-hmm. Both my parents were. All of my grandparents were. I have nothing against the Republican Party.
Right.
But it's been corrupted. And I think we need Americans to take back the Republican Party. But for right now, I'm asking for people to vote for me as a choice.
Yes.
So they don't have to support the Republican Party, which has been the party of anti-women. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. You can't say that's wrong, because they were the ones that forced whatever it's called, when you stop Roe versus Wade. Anyway.
Abortion.
Yes.
Abortion rights.
They were the ones that were key at doing that. They've decided that it's better to have more guns out on the street than less guns out on the street. And I'm going to be quite frank, and it's probably not something I should say as a politician. I'm not against guns.
Right.
I'm against stupid guns. Like, why in the world does anybody need a gun that'll blow the head off of a person to go hunting? First of all, you don't want to shoot a deer with one of that type of rifle, because you'll just completely disintegrate the other side of the poor deer.
Wow.
And so you won't be able to eat it. You might be able to chop its head off and put it in your den, but don't hit it in the head, because there won't be much of a head there. I'm also against Roe versus Wade. I think it was an honorable compromise when it was passed. It didn't allow anybody and his brother or anybody and his sister to get an abortion. Now,
what are the limits on that? Because I hear
26 months or 26 weeks, I believe.
Like 5 months.
Something like that. Not into the third trimester.
20 weeks is 5 months, right?
I don't think it was into the. I think the final trimester was out, unless it was to save the life of the mother.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And anyway, I believe that we should. I think Roe versus Wade was a good compromise. As a father of a daughter who had four children, mm-hmm. if she had come to me when she was 20 or what, before she got married,
right.
And was pregnant and asked me if she should have an abortion, I would have told her absolutely not. Mother and dad, grandpa and grandma will take care. And most of the people I talk to that are pro-choice say the exact same thing. It's not that they want to have they're
no,
not pro-abortion.
No.
Yeah. And so that's another stance that I have. I also think that money, if there is a way to get money out of politics, I would vote for that. I don't know how to do that. We haven't been able to get money out of politics since politics started. I'm absolutely certain that on the Greek council of legislators, they were all millionaires in their sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that money gives you power.
Yes, and absolutely.
People don't pay much attention to people that don't have any money.
Oh, so, no. You don't even have a voice.
No.
You don't have any money.
Yeah.
Just forget about it. You
right.
know, that's how our... the system over here or the world has evolved. It is about money. It is about power, you know. So we have to keep those things in mind.
Right.
Because people buy their way
and
have
all
the money to do so.
All my friends, all my Christian friends, forget about the parables, about the widow's mite,
mm-hmm.
and all the parables that deal with money and power. What's the one where the... I always forget the name of the parable where the gentleman saves the life of a person that's been beaten up on the side of the road.
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah, Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan is my favorite, and I can't remember it. The Good Samaritan's my favorite parable. My father used to do a sermon on it two or three times of the year. And I think it's at the heart of Christianity, but it should be at the heart of anything.
Right, of humankind,
take,
yes.
Yeah, take care of that person that's been injured. Not only did the Good Samaritan take care of him,
yes,
but he took him to a place to get healthy, and he paid that person for
yes.
him. Now, last week, Scott had a young woman on that was going homeless, and... I listened to the whole show, and I had a few things I could do for her, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I offered to give her a tent, and I offered to give her some extra stuff to wear and things like that. I think she got somebody heard it that was better off than I am,
okay.
and took care of her, so she didn't need me. But
that's good.
It's not a bad thing to take care of your fellow man.
No, it's not. It's a good thing.
I remember when I was in Athens,
mm-hmm.
a gentleman was standing on the side of the road. Now, my parents never would have stopped and picked somebody up that was just standing on the side of the road, but I did for some reason or other.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked like he needed help, and he did. That's all he needed is a help up.
Right.
And I took him to a motel, and we paid for the motel. And to this day, I feel good that I was able to do that for him. And he was a good person.
Mm-hmm.
He had just fallen on hard times. I think we need to help each other like that.
I know, because, you know, there's so many people in that category nowadays, way beyond
yeah.
our imagination.
Yeah.
People are homeless.
Yeah. I'm not recommending all of you go out and find somebody with a sign that says I'm homeless and take them home. But
right, and they have their own little communities, homeless communities,
yeah.
boxes and tents, and just to think about, this is where we are in the United States
yeah.
now. You know,
well, one of my dreams that I have a few dreams that I instigate in my own head before I'm going to sleep so I can get to sleep quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is that I win the lottery. And I win $300 million, and after taxes, that's only $150 million. So what are you
wow.
going to do with only $150 million?
Right.
But the first thing I do is I go out and I buy these little modular homes for homeless people and put them up in the places where they need them the most.
Right.
It's. I even design the little homes in my head, and that helps me go
yes,
to sleep.
yes. But it's a good thought.
It really is. It makes me feel better. Yeah.
And you know, and they've not only fallen on hard times, they do not have the ambition, I think. They lose their ambition to do better.
I'm not sure if it's ambition or they just, they get disappointed by
yes.
their fellow man saying, heck with you, and walking right on by like the Good Samaritan didn't do.
Right, right, right.
We walk right on by so many people.
Yes, we do.
We've got to find a way not to do that as much. I don't advocate picking up all the homeless people and trying to save them, because you can't save all of them. But
sure,
do what
can.
You can do.
Right, save those who want to yeah. be saved.
I worked at the what used to be called the Marion Community Credit Union, now called Pillar, And one of the projects I did was do an act of kindness.
Right.
And I would go out and I'd give $20, $50 to individuals. And I went to the home, food pantry up here on North Main, whatever that street is. Mm-hmm. And I went there and asked them if I could do that. And they said, oh, sure, that was great. And this kind of rough-looking guy came in. He was very short, probably 5'7", and his girlfriend and their child, mm-hmm. who was very young, and he came in, and I looked at him, and the guy that was giving the food to him took him through, and they got their food, and as they were getting ready to leave, I handed him a $50 bill. And, you know, this rough-looking guy mm-hmm. turned into a paper tiger. He started crying.
Aww.
And now they could go see his mother, whose birthday it was or something like that. And she lived in Mansfield, but he couldn't afford the gas to get his beater over to Mansfield.
Right.
So now he could go see her on her birthday. All those little things like that make you feel so much better than anything else you can do.
That's so true.
Yeah.
It is.
I can't think of anything that made me feel better than that.
True. Servants.
And I'm not a bleeding heart. Well, yeah, I am a bleeding heart liberal. But it's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Love thy neighbor as you love yourself.
And yeah.
That's one of the principles, you know. God's principles of the Bible.
Absolutely.
But anyway, if you can't help someone, it seems to be no joy in life. Like,
yeah,
just like you said, helping someone, how good that feels, you know, that you were obedient and you did what your heart was telling you to do, mm-hmm. right? So once you do that, yeah, there's no greater joy than that.
Yeah, and you don't have to do it all the time.
No.
But you do it
occasionally.
You're
led to do it. Yes, yeah. You're led to do it.
That's well, I'm not sure I believe that, but okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, you are.
Oh, yeah. I believe nothing just happens.
Okay.
There's a reason for everything.
Well, I won't get in an argument with you.
Well, no. You brought us some key points and positions. Now, when you talk about abortion, what would be the limit as far as Democratic Party is concerned? Because a lot of people say, well, they won't put a limit on how long a woman can go pregnant and then decide to kill the baby. So
first of all, I wouldn't call it killing the baby.
Okay.
It's
or an abortion.
Eliminating the fetus.
Eliminating the fetus.
I thought Roe versus Wade
was good.
It was decent, yes. Okay. It didn't weeks. Allow you to in the final trimester eliminate the fetus. And I get in arguments with people that are that disagree with me with, well, it's not a fetus, it's a baby. Well, it's going to be a baby in my opinion, but it's not quite a baby yet. And I understand they've got all sorts of tests now where they can decide that the baby's moving around subject to being tickled or being touched and stuff. I understand that, but it's still a part of the mother, and I think it is the mother, and I think she should have the choice with her doctor. But I don't think you really should go. I don't want to abort babies that are viable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the last trimester. At least you have a limit.
Oh, yeah.
At least you have
I don't
a
know
limit.
Anybody that's pro-choice that doesn't have a limit. I've never met a person that doesn't have a limit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why would you not have a limit?
Right. You're right about that, because then that gets kind of muddy when you're talking about people killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. You know, and messages get twisted along the way. You have so many people commentating and dictating and giving their opinions about certain things that are going on in our today life. And they put in their own opinion and it get twisted. And you may be listening to things and they're not quite true.
I'm going to leave it as a a relative.
Right.
But she is very close to me.
Okay.
Very close relative. Who is 4'11".
Okay.
And 13 years ago, I think, 13 years ago, she found out she was pregnant. They had used fertility drugs because she just couldn't get pregnant, and she very much wanted to have a child.
Okay.
And she got pregnant, but she got pregnant with 5 fetuses.
Really?
And the doctor said, if you keep all 5, you will not live. And she's only 4'11". And so they basically aborted 3 of the fetuses.
Really?
And saved her life. And a lot of people don't have that as an experience, but that's an experience that opened my eyes to some problems. And a lot of people have indicated that she's a baby killer. Well, it was either they leave or she did.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad she's still around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. I bet that was a hard decision to make. 5 babies.
I'm glad I didn't have to make it. She made it with her doctor and her husband. Mm-hmm. So, and that's the way it should be done.
And ended up with twins.
Yeah, she has twin boys.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Both very wonderful boys.
And you said she was 5'10"?
5'11". 4'11".
4'11".
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
5'10". Boy, that'd be a big, big girl. My daughter was 5'10".
Really? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, and you know, a lot of times doctors do make those decisions.
I don't want a doctor to make it. I want a doctor to make it with
the mother and the father.
The mother and the father, yeah.
Yes.
And if the father's not around, the mother needs to be the primary decision maker, I think.
That's true.
With good information.
Right.
She has to have a doctor that's willing to tell her the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Right, right.
And I think most doctors, I have 3 doctors in my family, and they're all passed now, but I think they all would tell the mother every choice she had, good, bad, and ugly.
So what do you think about parking downtown Marion? Especially Main Street.
I like what we've done, but I don't like that having to back in to a parking place.
Right.
It seems dangerous right there across from City Hall to me.
Either way is dangerous, back in and out. Or,
yeah,
you know,
one way you're getting hit in the rear, and the other way you're going to get hit in the front.
Right, yeah. Right.
But I don't know. Marion's traffic flow, since we moved here in 04, mm-hmm. Marion's traffic flow has always been the subject of a problem. Why in the world they decided to make the street meander down the middle? I mean, it doesn't meander a lot, but maybe it slows people down. I don't know.
It does.
But
especially on Main Street. It's like now one little section, you know, where you can drive in or back in. Now we just have distinct one lanes.
Yeah, yeah. It's added to the congestion, I believe.
Yes, it has.
But there are people that do that for a living. I hope we consoled or whatever you talk, I hope we talked with them.
Right, absolutely.
Before we did this.
It's kind of aggravating. And then when you're going north on Main Street and you're right there at the light, and from where they have parked, and you got to swing over to get in that far lane to the right, and it's like, but you have to pass all those other cars first.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
I just wondered about that.
Once you get used to it, I think it seems natural.
And a snail. You know, like a snail moving along.
Yeah.
It's like slow.
I don't mind slowing traffic down.
Right.
We have people that drive down my street, I'm sure at over 60 miles an hour, and we're in town. It's a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and I know we have people doing 60 down our street.
Ooh, wait, that's so dangerous.
It's terribly dangerous. And then they do, I don't know if you are awake at 9, 10, and 11 o'clock, But if you go outside and listen, it sounds like US 30 drag strip has opened up. And you guys don't know what US 30 drag strip is, but I came from outside of Chicago, and that's where it was. But I wish we had stronger surveillance of those people that are driving like idiots, but we don't. Always seems to be young men.
Yes.
Young men are not real smart. I was one once.
Yes, absolutely. You know, they have to mature.
Yeah, they sure do.
Grow in wisdom and maturity. Yeah. So what brought you and your family to Marion, Ohio?
A job? Yeah, I was in athletics for 18 years. Mm-hmm. I loved athletics. The problem with athletics is you're always at the whim of the athletic director. I was just an assistant athletic director.
Right.
I was in charge of public relations at both universities. I was at DePaul before I came to Ohio University. And I loved the job. And I stayed at DePaul for 12, 13 years, whatever it was. Yeah, 13, I think. And I really loved the job. And then we got a new president, and he told our athletic director that he had to get rid of all the men in the department because he wanted a clean house. He didn't get rid of the women. He was a little afraid of that because Title IX was going strong at the time.
Okay.
But he got rid of most of the men, and I was obviously one of them that had to go. And so I had just turned 50, and I couldn't find a job anywhere in athletics. They wanted all young boys or young girls. And, I was neither. So I started looking around. I got a couple, three jobs to hold me over for a couple years, and then this job at Marion Community Credit opened up as a director of public relations, and I jumped on it. I loved the people there. We had a great time, had a good run, had no complaints. Well, a couple minor complaints, but nothing that I couldn't deal with. And, the people there were just wonderful. I'm sure they still are, but I don't know them as well anymore now that I've been gone for 6 years. But anyway, that's why I came here. I wouldn't have been the town of my choice. I would have loved to have lived in Hilo, Hawaii, but but I would have lost but I would have lost my wife because she wouldn't move that far away from her children and grandchildren.
Wow, that is a long way away.
Oh yeah, but it's beautiful.
I'm sure. How many times have you traveled there?
Once. Yeah,
my sister's been there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, but you don't want to be there when there's a tsunami on the way.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's danger no matter where you are in this world.
True, yeah.
You know, just part of it. So what would be number one on your agenda as mayor?
To learn how to be mayor.
Okay.
I don't think Mr. Robbins or is that?
Bill Collins.
Collins, Mr. Collins, or I will be terrific mayors when we walk into the office, because neither one of us have had that opportunity. Both of us have managed people. He's managed police officers and sheriff's people. I've managed students. I've managed people at the university level.
Right.
So neither one of us have any experience of being the mayor of a city. I think what we can do is bring our experiences. I do have a college degree. I don't think he does, but it doesn't make any difference. 30-some years of education in his job, I'm sure, has given him some form of degree. But I think that's what the first thing I'll start doing. Now, I've already started, by the way.
Okay.
I have gone to the council meetings. I'm going to continue to do that. I now read diligently the news for what's going on in Marion. I think we have a very Republican state and a very Republican city. And I think probably the first thing I'm going to need to do is mend some fences. Find a way to talk with the people without reservations of, oh, you have an R by your name.
Right.
I hate that. When I was growing up, whether you had an R or a D, as a matter of fact, my parents wouldn't say what they were.
Sometimes that's best.
Yeah, but they were devoted, and everybody they knew were devoted to, you don't ask somebody whether they're a Republican or a Democrat. And I like that idea because I want to know whether you're a good person or a bad person, not whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. And I don't think either one of those letters makes you good or bad. I think your actions make you good or bad. And I think one of the first things I would have to do is learn about the job and lean across the aisle and say, how can I help? What can I do to make this city bigger, stronger? Doesn't have to really be bigger, but more progressive.
Right, right.
Another thing that does worry me a little bit, I hate the idea that we have these trains coming through town with chemicals on them, like went through East Palestine.
Right.
And now I understand the Mayor Schertzer told me that they have that in hand. They have a lady that's in charge of maintaining information about that, and that's good.
We had one in Marion.
Yes, we did.
Ago.
Yeah, and yeah. I think we need to make sure we keep on top of that, mm-hmm. that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to look. Probably the third thing I'm going to look at is what can we do positive about our drug problems. Mm-hmm. I think the mayor has done a terrific job of getting rid of the blighted houses. I think he told me we've gotten rid of 500 houses in the last couple of years or something like that. Mm-hmm. I'm making that number up. It was a very high number.
Yeah.
And they've gotten rid of all these blighted houses. And I think that needs to continue if there are places that are hosts for that type of thing.
Yes.
They need to be either brought down or repaired and have families move into them.
True. Another big issue. Yes, it is.
I would love to, and I know I have probably nothing to say about it, but I would love to see us have a city ordinance against having open carry. But I know that's probably a non-starter. But
now that's just in the downtown area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I hate the idea that a person can go into a bar, get drunk as a skunk, and have a gun on his strapped to his side. I've seen bar fights start over the stupidest things. And that we are going to allow people to carry a gun into a bar, we're going to have a lot of people killed. All you have to do is read the paper every day. I think there are like 160 mass shootings in 130 days. I mean, it's just crazy. And
I didn't know that you could go into a bar.
I'm not sure if it's been passed yet.
I hope not.
I'm going to have to look that up. But I know there is a movement to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like carry concealed, let alone open carry.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have open carry. At least you know what the person's got.
True.
You
do know what they have.
And I'm concerned that the concealed carry thing is given out too leniently. I can see us controlling things like that, but I'm not sure as a mayor that there's anything I can do about that, but I am not against guns.
You're out of time.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was a soldier, so I'm not against guns.
Well, that was a good hour. You shared
your
part with us. Yes.
Keep blabbing. Yeah.
That's okay, but thank you, Glenn, for coming
yes,
in and sharing with us from your heart. And those of you who are listening, thank you, and stay tuned for the next hour. Jeff Porter, author, Expressions of the Last Days. Till next time, be blessed. Thank you.